Tonight, it's Thursday, March 14th, 2024. And we want to start with sharing with you just a couple of takeaways from Sunday's message. Speaking of the worship, too, does anyone feel rallied tonight? You got that rally call?
Yes.
Amen. What the Lord was showing to me from Sunday was that suffering causes us to have a singularity of focus. You guys remember that?
Yeah.
Suffering causes us to have a singularity of focus. It removes the superfluous, right? The superfluous, all the little stuff. It removes the things that we think matter in the moment, but all they are, they're just dross. They're drawn to the surface by the fire of God. They're scraped away and they're thrown into the garbage. That's what suffering is to us. You know, I look at certain times in my life where I felt the most pressed. It's a time where the Lord has allowed me to become more focused. Focused most on just having my eyes, my heart, and my mind fixed on the Lord and His perfect will. And that is a gift from the Lord. I'm fighting for life and nothing else matters. Anybody else been there? Fighting for life and nothing else matters. These moments, they draw me to the throne room of God. These moments cause my brothers to rally around me and seek the face of God for me and my family as well. These moments, these seasons, they make me more like Him, and they make me set apart to do the Lord's kingdom purpose.
Come on. Amen. Come on, saints. We've seen from the Torah to the book of Revelation, we've seen that suffering for righteousness' sake perfectly positions us to be close to the Father. Didn't you see that on Sunday? The pastors expertly walked through the Word from the Torah all the way through to Revelation to show us that we can experience the advancement of God's kingdom every day in our lives as we endure in suffering. Yeshua is the perfect example of what being perfected through suffering looks like and being able to experience what it produces, as well as reward those brothers who follow in His footsteps. Jesus displays an incredible love for the Father and love for the brotherhood. Man, I love that. That was a revelation for me. That Jesus, yes, He was obedient, and He went to the cross, and for the joy set before Him, He endured the cross. He did that for the sake of obedience to His Father, but He did it because of the brotherhood. He did it because of the many sons that He would lead into glory. And we get to follow in His footsteps. See, Jesus is not the only one who leads sons into glory. The sons that He is leading are also gathering more sons to go into glory with them. His suffering brought Him to perfection. It will not be any different for us. The kingdom of God is at hand, and we've been given the privilege to walk in unity with the Spirit of Jesus, enduring the suffering that He endured. Saints, you want unity with Jesus Christ?
Yeah.
Then you must endure the suffering that He endured. That makes us an unstoppable force that is terrifying to our enemy, and our victory is inevitable. So before we get into the steak and potatoes of our message tonight, we'd like to reflect on one of the closing scriptures from the message, Rally Your Resolve. Y'all turn with us to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, and we're going to pick up in verse 12.
We're going to be in the ESV tonight. All night. Let's help you guys out. Starting in verse 12 says, "Now if anyone builds on the foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each one's work will become manifest. For the day will disclose it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test what sort of work each one has done. If the work that anyone has built on the foundation survives, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned up, he will suffer loss, though he himself will be saved, but only as through fire. Do you not know that you are God's temple and that God's Spirit dwells in you?" How many of you are looking forward to the day, right? The day of the Lord, right? It's not a trick question. I don't have the savvy of the pastors and other speakers. I'm not trapping you into something. This is an interaction, right? I can't do that. I'm not that good. Is anyone looking forward to the day of the Lord?
Yes.
Yes. Amen. Me too. There is a day coming that we should be anticipating, right? But we should also be anticipating today, or right now, that same testing and purifying fire. Amen. We should anticipate that. We should want that. What we glean from Sunday and are continuing to work out is that we want to suffer now. We want to persevere under affliction now so that we will receive a reward later. And the reality is that we're all building with something, right? We're all building. Whether we realize it or not, we are building with something. Is it wood, hay, and straw? Or is it gold, silver, and costly stones? You know, if we answer honestly, anyone want to talk honest, right? Talk shop here. If we answer honestly, we build with both. There are many times we build with both. On Sunday, we heard of some of the flammable things that we build with, that things like not engaging in the process of sanctification, right? Through suffering. Right, that's something that's flammable, something that will be burned up. It's like, hey, we engage with having a fear of death or a fear of loss. Right, this is stubble. This is something that gets burned up, and those things are getting burned up now. Amen.
Amen.
I want them burned up now. Does anyone else want them burned up now? I want them burned up now. We are learning, church. We're learning to build with costly, precious materials so that the totality of our work will stand up under the testing fire in that day.
Amen.
This makes us consider what kind of suffering we have been enduring and if we've maintained the right attitude as we endure. You guys want to dig into that?
Oh, yeah. Amen. Come on. Saints, remember from Hebrews chapter 3 that Jesus Christ is the Son over the house, and we are that house.
Yeah.
We are being built up as God's house. So hold on to your confidence, church. Hold on to your confidence, church. We're not suffering in futility. Come on. God has aimed at something. As he stands in the affliction along with us, God is looking to build something inside of us. He is a master builder, building up his house. He's building up this house. Oftentimes when we're considering suffering, we focus on what we lose, right? When you talk about I'm suffering right now, you may be thinking about what's at loss. What are you losing?
Remember earlier you said we're going to be honest tonight. We're going to talk to each
yes.
other, right?
Yeah.
So when we consider suffering, sometimes we think about the loss factor, yes?
Yes.
Okay.
So tonight, we want to grasp what God is helping us to fix our eyes on, and that is what we gain as we endure through the suffering, okay? We're not going to focus on what we lose. We're going to focus on what we gain. So tonight, the title of tonight's message is Suffering Gains. Say that with us. Suffering Gains. Pastor Matt and Pastor Wade did an excellent job of stringing pearls from Hebrews chapter 2 on Sunday. Did y'all catch that? They didn't turn there on Sunday, but we're going to turn there tonight. So if it's okay with y'all, we're going to take a little walk through the book of Hebrews chapter 2. And we're just going to take our time, the time that's been allotted to us, and we're going to walk through the entire chapter of Hebrews 2. So y'all go to Hebrews 2 and verse 1. Say suffering gains as you're turning there.
Suffering gains.
Verse 1 says, therefore, we must pay much closer attention to what we have heard, lest we drift away from it. For since the message declared by angels proved to be reliable, and every transgression or disobedience received a just retribution, how shall we escape if we neglect such a great salvation? It was declared at first by the Lord, and it was attested to by us who heard, while God also bore witness by signs and wonders and various miracles, and by gifts of the Holy Spirit distributed according to his will. Saints, what we want you to get right now is that we must pay closer attention to what the Lord has been revealing to us. Before we go any further, we want to encourage you, pay attention tonight. Pay attention because what the Lord is doing right now and what he has been setting us up for and these messages that have been building upon each other, they're leading us somewhere. God knows what he's doing, so we want to encourage you, pay much closer attention tonight to the messages and the teachings that we have heard, so that we can gain what we need through our suffering. Amen?
Amen. I know we kind of talked about it earlier, but I can't help but give away what we're doing, right? We're going to reveal at the end. We gain through suffering, right? One of the things that we gain is we gain the favor and we gain the fellowship of our God. Yes. That is a big time gain that we get. And these things come about through the suffering. Pick up in verse, we're still in Hebrews chapter 2. Like I said, we're going to take a walk through Hebrews 2. We're going to pick up in verse 9 and read through 5 through 9. It says, "For it was not to angels that God subjected the world to come, of which we are speaking. It has been testified somewhere, 'What is man that you are mindful of him? Or the son of man that you care for him? You made him for a little while lower than the angels. You have crowned him with glory and honor, putting everything in subjection under his feet. Now in putting everything in subjection to him, he left nothing outside his control. At present, we do not yet see everything in subjection to him." Isn't that right? "But we see him who for a little while was made lower than the angels, namely Jesus, crowned with glory and honor because," catch this, "because of the suffering of death." That's how we were able to see him. That is how we are able to have hope and maintain hope, because of the suffering of death that he went through. "So that by the grace of God, he might taste death for everyone." When we look at this passage, let's engage with it. How does it make you feel to know that the master of the universe cares for you? Wonderful. Secure. Yeah, that's a great feeling. The God who created everything, everything that we're standing on, everything that we can see and perceive, he cares for us. He is mindful of us. He is thinking about us. He is thinking about his purpose for us and what we are to do for him. If we just take the time to meditate on just that, man, we can spend days, weeks, months, and it's a beautiful thing. But let's be honest, in the midst of suffering, because that's what we're talking about tonight, do we automatically feel close to God? Do we feel it? If we stay in our flesh, do we feel close to God? Isn't there something in our flesh that tells us that we must have done something wrong and God is far from us? I'm suffering. Lord, what great sin did I get? Would you show me, God? Would you show me? Like, what is it that's going on in my life? Why have you rejected me? I'm not your son anymore. When we go through suffering. But it's a lie. It is a lie from the enemy. At present, we are still working out how to rightly endure through suffering. That's what we want to continue to talk about tonight. So let's look at an eye-opening scripture to help us engage with this wrestling.
Come on, let's go to Psalm 73, and we're going to pick up in verse 3. Say, "Suffering gains," as you're turning there. Verse 3 says, "For I was envious of the arrogant when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. For they have no pangs until death. Their bodies are fat and sleek. They are not in trouble as others are. They are not stricken like the rest of mankind." Ooh, can you feel Asaph's attitude in this? I mean, I resonated with it.
Man, I'm
envious. Wait a minute. Envious of the arrogant? Envious of the wicked and the prosperity that they have? Because they don't have to suffer? That would make me envy. Wow. "This passage certainly exposes the weak area of my heart while strengthening it at the same time." Asaph finds himself envying the wicked. He sees an injustice, right? He's disgruntled. He's dissatisfied. Saints, I found myself in that place while going through suffering many times. He's saying they don't have to suffer. They get to prosper. Why is that? We know earlier in the verse he says his foot had almost slipped. He almost opted out of the suffering in order to gain something for himself in this world. Saints, how many times have we been close to opting out of the difficulty, the hardship, the affliction that God has placed us in order to gain something of the world that might satisfy us in the moment, and we would forsake the great reward that God has for us?
Brother, sometimes it's not just close. I've actually opted out of it.
How many times a day do we find ourselves in this position? Yeah. Asaph doesn't stay there, though, does he? No. He chooses suffering in this life so that he might gain fellowship with God. Look at verse 21. "When my soul was embittered, when I was pricked in heart, I was brutish and ignorant. I was like a beast toward you. Nevertheless, somebody say nevertheless.
Nevertheless.
I am continually with you. That should excite your heart as you're hearing that. Nevertheless, I am continually with you. You hold my right hand. You guide me with your counsel. And afterward, you will receive me into glory. Whom have I in heaven but you? And there is nothing on this earth that I desire besides you. Saints, we need to let the familiarity of this verse be shaken off right now. We need to really engage with this scripture, because when we do, we recognize that the suffering is good. The affliction is good. It's what draws us near to God. And more than that, God is near to us. He is leading us by his right hand. Verse 26 says, my flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. Amen. Saints, nevertheless, I am always with you. Say that, Lord.
Lord.
Nevertheless.
Nevertheless.
I am always with you.
I am always with you.
Psalm 119:71 says, it was good for us to be afflicted. Isaiah 63 says, in our affliction, he is afflicted. Saints, can you get how important it is to get this revelation that it is good for us to go through suffering? It is good for us to be afflicted because we gain fellowship with God. We gain the favor of God through that suffering. Our Father is faithful to lead us in our suffering. He doesn't just say, son, this is what I've apportioned for you. You must go through this now. He is with you. He is watching over you. He is leading you as you're going through that affliction. Man, that's good news. In the thick of our suffering, when we're experiencing the hardest difficulties, we gain the perspective that the earth has nothing that we desire. See, JJ talked about it earlier. When he is rightly going through the suffering, and this goes for every single one of us, when we're rightly going through the suffering, we realize all the superfluous is just gone. It is not a focus at all. We have a singularity of focus with the Father. We're looking to him. We're saying, yes, Lord, I am continually with you. Yes, this is true. The wicked, they prosper. They don't experience the pangs until death. But we know what the end result is. And saints, we get to experience victory right now. We get to experience walking with the Father right now and experiencing fellowship with him right now. God is our strength and our portion forever. So we're going to move to verse 10 in Hebrews 2. Y'all ready?
If you guys are there, say, I want to gain fellowship with the Father.
Fellowship with the Father.
That's what we all want. Another thing that we gain by going through suffering is we gain the identity, the immovable identity of a son. Verse 10 says, for it was fitting that he, for whom and by whom all things exist, in bringing many sons to glory, should make the founder of their salvation perfect through suffering. Now, when I read this, when I don't dig into it, I'm like, how is Christ made perfect, right? The perfect, the Lamb of God, the Son of God, the everything that we could hope to be for, how could he be made more perfect?
Wasn't he already perfect? Don't you have that thought?
Wasn't he already perfect? Yeah. Yeah, you have that thought, and it makes you consider, well, then why? Why would he have to go through suffering?
It's for us, because he wants to bring many sons to glory. He is made perfect through suffering so that we can join in the salvation that he brings. Jesus Christ, the author of our salvation, did not just write out what our salvation looks like, right? He didn't give us a 12-step guide. He didn't give us a booklet, you know, a question and answer, multiple choice at the end. Are we going to be sons of God? No, he was made perfect through suffering. Yeah. He gave us salvation by submitting himself to suffering. He walked it out for us. He showed us how to walk out this life. He showed us what true sonship looks like. He is the Son of God, and he shows us how to be true sons. But you know what? I don't always feel like a son when I'm going through afflictions. But again, what is that? That's a lie.
Yeah.
That's a lie. Say it with me. That's a lie.
That's a lie.
The suffering may feel like punishment in my flesh, but what it is doing is it is securing me as a son.
Amen.
It's securing us as sons. Hebrews 12 talks about the discipline every son must go through. We're not going to read that, but you understand that a son, a true son, goes through discipline, and that discipline is the love of the Father that is upon him. And when we go through discipline, when we undergo discipline, the Lord is just securing us as sons.
Yeah.
You guys want to be secure sons?
Yes.
I know you do.
So you don't have to turn there. I'm going to read from Hebrews 5 in verse 8. Although he was a son, he learned obedience through what he suffered. And being made perfect, he became the source of eternal salvation to all who obey him. Saints, this is the same writer here in Hebrews chapter 5. You can see the continuance from Hebrews chapter 2. He's saying Jesus is the perfect, obedient son, and he's made perfect through suffering. Does anybody want to be made perfect?
Yeah.
Yes, I do. When you're experiencing afflictions and hardships, remember that your sonship is being made secure. Yeah. Saints, we've got to remember. When you're in the suffering, we can't let our first thought be, oh no, what is going on? I must be far from God. I must have done something wrong to the Lord. My identity is shaken now. We can't let that happen. We need to understand that our sonship is being made secure when we're going through suffering. When you're being tempted to resent the suffering that's producing obedience in you, remember that God is near you as a loving Father. And remember, in your obedience, we become a source that leads others to salvation. See, we're following in the footsteps of Jesus, and if he is the source of salvation and we're following in those footsteps, then we get to lead others to that source of salvation as well. Amen? So speaking of remembering, we're going to turn to Deuteronomy chapter 8 and pick up in verse 2. Say suffering gains as you turn there.
Suffering gains. Verse 2, and you shall remember the whole way that the Lord your God has led you these 40 years in the wilderness, that he might humble you, testing you to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not. And he humbled you and let you hunger and fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you know that man does not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that comes from the mouth of God. Your clothing did not wear out on you, and your foot did not swell these 40 years. Know then in your heart, yada then in your heart, that as a man disciplines his son, the Lord your God disciplines you. This passage is the Lord leading his sons. He is leading them through hard times. He's leading them through barren lands, barren places, right? Places that hurt, places of hunger, places that humble us, that test our hearts to see what we are made of. And he does it because he's a good father, because he loves us. And that's what good fathers do. Good fathers know exactly what their sons need, yes? There's a lot of good fathers in this room that know exactly what their sons need. They probably don't want it in the moment. They probably don't want their backside to sting for about 2 or 3 minutes, but it's what they need. And a good father knows what a son needs. Amen. Our Father knows that we need to trust him more. Our Father knows that we need his word more. Our Father knows that we need more security as a son. And so he leads us. He guides us through every situation, through every pathway. And when we press into affliction, he presses into us. Amen. When we press into affliction, when we go into affliction, the Lord presses into us. He presses his word into us. He presses it so deep into us that we become immovable, that we have firm convictions that we can stand on that will never move, that will never be shaken. He presses his character into us. He makes us like him. We are sons of the living God, and he presses who he is into us. He makes us his sons. He makes us more like him. Does anyone want to gain more security in their sonship?
Yes.
Yeah. Does anyone want to gain more security in their sonship?
Yes.
Okay.
Come on.
Amen.
Yeah, these last couple weeks, I've been undergoing some suffering. I've been undergoing some affliction, some discipline, some correction. Can I tell you, initially, I wanted to pull away from that. I wanted to isolate. I didn't want anything to do with it. I questioned the motives. I questioned why right now. why me and why my family? And I'm just being boldly transparent with y'all right now. I know each and every one of you have felt that before. Can I tell you that as I turned my eyes to the Lord and recognized, God, you're being good to me. Lord, you are leading me through this right now. You have led me through this dry place, and you have caused me to hunger so that I can depend on you. And when I did that, I looked around and saw the fathers that are around me. I saw the brothers that are around me that are pulling me to their side and saying, hey, we're going through this with you. It's more than just we experience a fellowship with the Father and favor with the Father. That is amazing. It's more than we experience and we gain lost my place there. The identity as a son. We are also gaining the fellowship of the brotherhood. There we go. Let's go to verse 11 in Hebrews chapter 2. For he who sanctifies and those who are sanctified all have one source. That is why he is not ashamed to call them brothers, saying, I will tell of your name to my brothers. In the midst of the congregation, I will sing your praise. And again, I will put my trust in him. And again, behold, I and the children God has given me. Saints, you hear so many of the verses from Sunday in this passage right here. Wasn't it so good hearing that from Psalm 22? We know that that's a prophetic psalm about Messiah. And he's saying, here am I and the sons that you've given me, the brothers that I have, and I will sing of your praises in the midst of the congregation. Saints, another thing that we gain through our suffering is true fellowship. Yes. Sanctification is produced inside of us, and that after that sanctification, that holiness is being worked inside of us, we can experience true fellowship with one another. But we got to be real. There are times in our suffering where we feel distant from our brothers. We choose isolation because no one understands what I'm going through.
I'm the only one.
I'm the only one.
Ever experienced this.
You don't know this circumstance that I'm going through. Brothers and sisters, you are not alone. Let me say that again. You are not alone in the suffering that you're going through. You're not a victim. You're not unique. You are not a victim, and you are not unique. The suffering that you're enduring is actually producing a brotherhood inside of you. We got to rise up with some holy chutzpah. We realize that we have brothers on our left and our right who are ready to stand with us in the fire as we are going through this suffering.
Come on, y'all turn with us to Daniel chapter 3. You know where we're going. We're going to start with verses 16 through 18. When you get there, say, fellowship of the brotherhood. It says, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. We just talked about identity, right? Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, because that's who the Lord called them to be, answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this matter. If this be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of your hand, O king. But if not, be it known to you, O king, that we will not serve your gods or worship the golden image that you have set up. Man, look at the chutzpah, right? The confidence that these men have. We have no need to answer you in this matter. We don't even need to respond to you, Nebuchadnezzar. Our God is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. He is able. And he will deliver us out of your hand, O king. He will deliver. Man, that's some confidence. Verse 18. But if not, man. This is my favorite part about this passage, this attitude. But if not, it doesn't matter. Even if this doesn't turn out quite like we hope, we will not lose faith. We will not bow to the reports of men, to the reports of doctors, to the reports of the world. We will not do it because it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what the outcome is. We are a part of the fellowship of God and the fellowship of believers. The Lord has made us sons of God. We will not lose faith. In this moment, these men, do not fear death because they know the God who has the power over death. This is what it looks like to have the fellowship in suffering, to be made a stronger brotherhood through the fire, right? A brotherhood through the fire, walking with your brothers through the fire, not just from a distance, but going with them, linking side by side, arm in arm, right? We sing about it, don't we? We sing about it being soldiers, arm in arm, shoulder to shoulder. But we're going to do it.
Amen.
We're going to do it, and we're going to go through the fire together. And the Lord is going to make us stronger. He's done it already, and he's going to do it again.
Come on.
This is what it looks like, and it doesn't stop there. We know the rest of the story.
Verse 24 says, Then King Nebuchadnezzar was astonished and rose up in haste. He declared to his counselors, "Did we not cast three men bound into the fire?" They answered and said to the king, "True, O king." He answered and said, "But I see four men unbound walking in the midst of the fire, and they are not hurt. And the appearance of the fourth is like a son of the gods." Look, not only do these brothers experience true fellowship, but they experience that fellowship along with the presence of God with them. God doubles down for his fellowship of brothers and fellowships with them in their suffering, because that's exactly who he is and what he does. How many of you want greater fellowship with the Lord and greater fellowship with one another? Yes, me too. Well, 1 Peter 4:12 says, "Do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal that has come to test you, as though something strange were happening to you. But rejoice." But rejoice insofar as you share Christ's sufferings, that you may also rejoice and be glad when his glory is revealed. Saints, it's not strange for a believer to experience fiery trials, nor are you alone. So we learn from Azariah, Hananiah, and Mishael that suffering for righteousness' sake is going to be painful. It may even lead to death, but fellowship with the brotherhood and in that suffering is much greater gain than loss. So let a holy defiance and a tenacious praise rise up to the heavens, giving glory to your King. We must put on a bold, joyful attitude like these young men demonstrated for us. Saints, it's not enough to just go through the suffering. It's not enough to go through the suffering along with your brothers. We have to have the right attitude. We have to have that holy chutzpah, and we have to let a rejoicing rise up as we are going through the suffering together. James chapter 1 and verse 2 says,
I'll give you a second to get there, because I want you with us. We're in the fellowship together. It says, "Count it all joy, my brothers." My brothers. Count it all joy. Count it full joy. Count it pure joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds. For you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. And let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. Amen. See, 1 Peter 5, 9, and 10 says very similar things. Resist him, firm in your faith, knowing that the same kinds of sufferings are being experienced by your brotherhood throughout the world. And after you have suffered a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. One amazing aspect that we love about God's word is how consistent it is, right? Yeah. We serve a God who is consistent. His word is consistent from Genesis to Revelation. He does not change. His word does not change. His promises are true. That there is an eternal brotherhood throughout the entirety of the word that is gained as we joyfully endure suffering. There are various kinds of trials, right? We just read about it. And there are the same kinds of trials in our suffering, but they are experienced by the brotherhood throughout the world. We are not alone. Amen. Say, I am not alone.
I am not alone.
We are not alone in having a steadfastness produced inside of us. That is what the suffering is doing. We are being made perfect together with our brothers. Not outside, but with our brothers, just as Christ was. Who wants some restoration?
I do.
Who wants some confirmation?
I
Who wants to be strengthened and established? Okay, I'll make sure we're all together in a brotherhood. You are gaining, church. You are gaining an eternal brotherhood that can never be stripped away as you endure through the suffering.
Back to Hebrews 2. Verse 14. Since therefore the children share in flesh and blood, he himself likewise partook of the same things, that through death he might destroy the one who has the power of death, that is, the devil, and deliver all those who through fear of death were subject to lifelong slavery. Wow. For surely it is not angels that he helps, but he helps the offspring of Abraham. Therefore, he had to be made like his brothers in every respect, so that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in the service of God to make propitiation for the sins of the people. For because he himself has suffered when tempted, he is able to help those who are being tempted. Come on, saints. He is able to deliver all those who through the fear of death were subject to lifelong slavery. That was me. That was you. You were once subject to lifelong slavery because of your fear of death. Not even because of death itself, but just a fear of it, you were held in slavery. Come on, we're picking up a pace, but you can feel the anticipation rising as we consider the total victory over death that we get to experience right now. It's true, we must experience death. There's no denying that. But Christ already tasted death for us so we can be sons that join with him in his victory over death. Saints, suffering helps us to gain a victory over death. Now we, just like you, resonated with the portion of Sunday's message that talked about the fear of death being worse than death itself. I can tell you right now, how many times that's, I can't tell you how many times it's crippled me because I haven't kept count, but it's been a lot. But catch verse 17 again. Therefore, he had to be made like his brothers in every respect. Jesus was made just like us in every way. And he because he suffered temptation and never sinned, he is able to help us in our temptations. Saints, as we are overcoming the fear of death and that slavery that we were once subject to, we no longer have to give way to temptation. We have a victory over sin. We have a victory over death. That is something that we gain through suffering.
Amen. Does anyone want to gain victory over death? Yeah. Amen. Turn with us to Esther chapter 4. Read verse 16. When you get there, say victory over death. I'm not leaving the ladies up. Got a lot of women of God in here who have tasted victory over death so much that they can't stop but having victory over and over and over again. Verse 16 says, go, gather all the Jews to be found in Susa and hold a fast on my behalf. And do not eat or drink for 3 days, night or day. I and my young women will also fast as you do. Then I will go to the king, though it is against the law. And if I perish, I perish. I love this attitude. I said it before. I love this attitude that Esther has. It's the same as the three men in Daniel. If I perish, I perish. But if not, I am not afraid of death. I will embrace it. I will carry on. I will endure until death. Fear of death has been driven out. And Esther has victory over death. Esther is walking in full submission and full obedience to what the Lord has called her to. And it is giving her the victory over death. And saints, this is the same attitude that everyone can have in here. That we do have in there. We've seen it over and over again. The and if not, but if not. If I perish, I perish. This is the attitude that we need to have. And it will give us complete and total victory over death.
Come on. 2 Corinthians 1 in verse 9 says, indeed, we felt that we had received the sentence of death, but that was to make us rely not on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead. He delivered us from such a deadly peril, and he will deliver us. On him we have set our hope that he will deliver us again. Saints, you might have felt like you had the sentence of death, but the Lord has delivered you. He is delivering you right now, and he will continue to deliver you just like he did for Paul. We are made able to rely on God. See, he allowed you to feel that sentence of death. He allowed you to feel that suffering so that you would rely on him and know that you have total victory over death. Suffering causes us to be able to rely on God who raises the dead. And because he raises the dead, we are able to have complete victory over death. We are able to set our hope on him who will deliver us again and again and again. So we've spent an appropriate amount of time walking through Hebrews 2, talking about the amazing things that we gain through suffering in the same order that Jesus laid out for us. And we are approaching a descent. This plane is going to land. But before we do, we want to talk to you about the kingdom of God that you gain through suffering. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 11, and we're going to pick up in verse 14. Come on, somebody say suffering gains as you turn there.
Suffering gains. Hebrews 11, 14 through 16 says, "For people who speak thus make it clear that they are seeking a homeland. If they had been thinking of that land from which they had gone out, they would have had opportunity to return. But as it is, they desire a better country." Church, do you desire a better country?
Oh, yeah.
"That is a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared for them a city."
Come on. Hebrews 12, 26 says, "Therefore," verse 28 says, "Therefore, let us be grateful for receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, and thus let us offer to God acceptable worship with reverence and awe, for our God is a consuming fire." Saints, we are receiving a kingdom that can never be shaken as we are enduring through suffering.
Hebrews 13, 13 and 14 says, "Therefore, let us go to him outside the camp and bear the reproach he endured. For here we have no lasting city, but we seek the city that is to come, a kingdom that is to come."
Matthew 3, 2 says, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." Saints, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. The kingdom of heaven is here and right now. We are gaining it through our suffering, so we must be earnest and repent.
Matthew 13, 11 says, "And he answered them, 'To you it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given.'" We want to encourage you, church, that you have been given the secrets of the kingdom of heaven. And these are the things that we need, that the Lord is giving us, and we need to continue to remember and press into them.
Mark 12, verse 29, and you could turn there. Mark 12, 29. "And the scribe said to him, 'You are right, teacher. You have truly said that he is one, and there is no other besides him. And to love him with all the heart and with all the understanding and with all the strength, and to love one's neighbor as oneself, is much more than all whole burnt offerings and sacrifices.' And when Jesus saw that he answered wisely, he said to him, 'You are not far from the kingdom of God.' And after that, no one dared ask him any more questions." Saints, when we are rightly going through the suffering, we are looking to God, and we are looking to love him with all of our heart, with all of our soul, and with all of our strength. And we're looking to the brothers around us to love them with all of our heart. And Jesus says, "You are not far from the kingdom of God." We can feel that God has been ramping something up inside of our body. He has been leading us to this point and showing us the miraculous is going to happen. There are great signs and wonders that are going to happen, but all of that means nothing if you're not bearing up under the suffering rightly. God wants us to experience the kingdom right here and right now. What our pastors did for us and what Gabe and Olivia did standing up here and us praying, we are watching the kingdom of God break out in our house right now. Let's go to Matthew 5 and chapter 10 for one of our last scriptures.
When you get there, say, "Gaining the kingdom." Verse 10 says, "Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice! Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Church, we are blessed. We are blessed with the kingdom when we make a stand for righteousness' sake. Just like Joshua did in 24:14-15, he said, you can serve other gods if you want, but as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. We're going to stand on this side of the line. When we make a stand for righteousness' sake and we endure persecution, it is a blessing. It is a blessing, church. When we are blessed, when we are reviled, when we are talked bad about, right? When someone's posting online about us, not that that's ever happened. When someone shows up at our door, not that that's ever happened. When we are spoken falsely of on the account of Christ, on the account of the righteousness that resides in each and every one of us, we are blessed. We are blessed with a great heavenly reward. Church, do you want the heavenly reward? Do you want the heavenly reward? This is how you get it. You endure the suffering. And let's make it clear, though, we don't do it for the reward. We do it for righteousness' sake. We do it because it's right. When we are enveloped in a consuming fire, when we bear the reproach Jesus endured, when we stand firm in our convictions based off the righteousness of God, and we are not accepted because of it, the end result is the kingdom of God. It is the promise of God, according to Matthew chapter 5. The kingdom, church, the kingdom is what we gain from undergoing suffering. Hallelujah, church. Someone shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Philippians 3, 7 through 8 reminds us that whatever gains we did have, we count as loss for the sake of knowing Christ, because those weren't true gains. The true gains come from standing firm on your convictions and being immovable and enduring the suffering and enduring the hardship. That is what true gain is, church.
Amen. Y'all stand up with us. We're going to go to Revelation chapter 21. We are receiving a kingdom. We are gaining a kingdom, the kingdom of heaven, through our suffering. Verse 3 says, and I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, behold, the dwelling place of God is with men. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. For the former things have passed away. There shall be no more mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away. And he who has seated on the throne said, behold, I am making all things new. And he said, write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true. Saints, behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them as their God. Saints, this circles right back to where we started. Fellowship and favor with God is what we are gaining through the suffering. This is great news, isn't it?
Yes.
But what did it take for the people to get to this point? I mean, we're talking about Revelation chapter 21. We're talking about the end of the ages. What did they go through in previous chapters of Revelation? Suffering. Imprisonment. Death. Right? But the Lord will make all things new.
All things.
This is the future state of the people of God. But just because it's the future state, Our future state does not make it any less trustworthy for us today. Church, can we dwell with God in a more close way? Yes. We can dwell with each other in a more close way as well, can't we? This deeper fellowship that we all desire can and will happen, and it happens through the fellowship of suffering with Christ and with others. As a follower of Jesus Christ, suffering is inevitable. But more than that, victory is inevitable.
Come on.
The kingdom of God is inevitable. We are gaining the kingdom here and now. What we gain is so much more than what we lose in suffering.
So we want to remind you of the things that we gain through suffering. Suffering gains. You gain the favor and the fellowship of God. You may think God is far from you when you're suffering, but that is a lie. God is near to those who suffer for his name's sake. Number two, you gain identity as a son. Your sonship is never in question. When we endure sonship, it is the Lord's kindness on us. When we endure suffering, it is the Lord's kindness on us because he is making us, he's disciplining us as a son. And we gain that identity. Number three, we gain the fellowship of brotherhood. Church, you're not alone. Someone say, I'm not alone. You're not the victim. Someone say, I'm not a victim. You're not going through something unique. Say, I'm not special. But all of us together are special. We are supernatural. You gain fellowship with each other as we endure suffering. Number four, you gain victory over death. Death is inevitable, church. It's going to happen. Death and taxes, right? Two things that always happen. It's the only way to experience true life, though. Amen. Death, loss, it's the only way that we experience resurrection life. And number five, we gain the kingdom of heaven. Amen. We gain the kingdom of God. When you lose everything else in the world, right? Mother, father, brother, sister, home, field, whatever it is that we lose in this world, we gain the kingdom of heaven 100 times over, 100 times over. And this is the most secure place that we can be, church.
Saints, as we get ready to go back into worship, and I'm going to pray, we're not looking for more eloquent speech. We're not looking to flog ourselves, beat ourselves and bring ourselves into suffering. We are rather looking to our Father, just like Jesus looked to his Father and had that relationship, and then following through in obedience and be perfected through what we suffer for his namesake. This is a simple message. Read Hebrews chapter 2 for yourself. It's beautiful to see that Jesus did this to please his Father, and he did it to bring many sons to glory. He loves the brotherhood, and we need to learn to love the brotherhood more. I need to learn to love the brotherhood more. I need to learn to love my Father more, to go through the suffering, not for the reward, but I know that there is a reward. It's promised. From Genesis to Revelation, there's a reward when we go through suffering with the right attitude. So if you haven't been, because I know we're all going through it, sicknesses, financial issues, whatever it is, we're going through some sort of suffering. And if you've not been dealing with it with the right attitude, come get your heart right quickly, because you can experience the kingdom of heaven right here and right now. Amen? So as I begin to pray, get your hearts right. Mighty God, Father, we thank you, Lord, that through the suffering, we have great gains in you. Lord, that though we are experiencing loss, Lord, that is not something to mourn over. That is not something to weep over. God, it is something that we rejoice in as we are going through fiery ordeals, as we are standing through the fire together with our brothers. Lord, you are there with us. Lord, that it is evidence not only for us as we're experiencing it, but the world is seeing that your presence is here in this place. We are experiencing victory in this place, and we are experiencing your kingdom here in this house, Mighty One. Would you continue to break out amongst us, Lord God, that your spirit would continue to empower us, Mighty One. Lord, that we would rise up and say yes to the suffering, that we wouldn't shrink back, that we wouldn't look to, Lord, what it is that's holding us back, but rather how we are gaining in your kingdom.